So hello, everybody, and welcome to our ERC Gold Diamond, we used to call it Diamond, Gold Plus and Elite call. It's actually our last official call for the month, the whole year, but we do have our special call on Friday, which is a half-day retreat where we can really just like hone in and create our plans for moving forward. For those of you who are going to stay with us, we'll create some plans for moving forward with us. And for those of you who aren't, we're going to give you some ideas and strategies for you to take forward in your life. I have a bunch of stuff that Angelica nicely put together in an agenda for me that you guys have submitted on the RSVP calls and questions. I do want to say to Paula that, what was I going to say? Oh, I'll send it to you, but I emailed Joel Kahn, like we talked about yesterday, and he said, there are a few people in that area, but he's happy to consult and do like a second opinion by phone and then be able to really tell who would be the best person to approach. And I did mention about the atrial, the fibrillation and stuff that your son had. He says that that's his area of expertise. So he would be a really good person for him to just consult with, no obligation kind of thing, you know, that he can then, you know, decide what to do to move forward from that. So I'll send you his email, his personal email address that you can share. And I know it's family, so good luck, fingers crossed that they actually, you know, will pursue it, because Joel is amazing. He's just really phenomenal. I've known him for the last few years, and he's very caring, but very experienced as a conventional cardiologist who used to do surgery and now, you know, has switched to teaching people more nutrition style and all that. So,
right. Thank you. Thank you. Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So hello, Jeannie just joined us, and it looks like Maya just joined us too. Yay. All right. So I'm going to pull up my screen, and I know I had some questions from John and Maya and Jeannie, and I believe also.
Hey, Dr. Rita Marie, by the way, I've only gotten until the top of the hour, so just if sometime in the next.
Okay. Well, I can do yours first. So okay. Where were your questions? Let's see. They were here. I have it. It's in the form.
And apologies if I've already asked you this question. I had a bit of a brain freeze. I couldn't remember if I had.
Happens to all of us, John.
Okay. Wait a minute. I think I already asked her this.
Oh, I might have asked you that, but I did that to my husband yesterday. I asked him a question, and then he answered me, and then I went and I was getting food out of the refrigerator or whatever, and I went, I'm really sorry I asked you a question, but I don't remember what you answered me. It happens.
I think there's a name for that one.
Yeah, dementia or not paying attention. All right. So questions, you did 8 IV infusions. Last time we talked to you, you're in the middle of the,
well, now depending
like
on
the first few, or you,
yeah, well, now I'm doing hyperbaric ozone treatment.
Okay.
Which is a whole other conversation, but I'm going to do 2 more of those. But yeah, back in April and March, I had those high, you know, mega doses of B and,
yes,
C. And glutathione of about, you know, 800, 1200, 1600 cc's of glutathione, right? So megadose. And like instantly overnight, it just trashed my hair and nails. Like I woke
when
up
you one day. Trashed it. It was falling out.
Thinning it out, receding it, changed the color and texture, and put,
wow,
the sponge lip in it. And so Lisa and I have been talking about it, you know, we're thinking, you know, the beans, it should have kind of had the opposite effect, at least the B and the C, but the,
right,
but the question is that those kind of doses of glutathione, which most people don't typically ever get, the question is, you know, that massive, if it's doing massive detoxification, it's unusual that a lot of that will show up, I guess, theoretically, in your hair and your nails.
I could, right? And it could be flushing the things out, because the nails and hair are, you know, they're repositories, and they just.
But should that grow out?
I would think it would grow out if it's April and May, and now we're in August. That's 3 months later.
Yeah.
3 to 4 months later. So, and have the nails, like, it has it looked, does it look like it's changed the nail beds?
Yeah, well, so I already had, because of everything going on and just all my symptoms from the Levaquin and the statin, I already had some scooping and grooving going on, but it's weird. It wasn't symmetrical. Usually nail issues are symmetrical. from what I understand. Like my right thumb was funky and some of my fingers were a little bit, it was mostly the right thumb, but now it's created additional sort of scooping and ridging
in all of
in my other thumb and ridging in all of my nails, right? Which is never a great sign, but maybe it's a sign that something's going on.
Okay. Was molybdenum part of that process?
No, not that I know of. It was just a host of
B complex.
Complex
and, so like a Myers cocktail type of thing with C and glutathione in high
dose. Yeah, and then the biggest thing was it sounded like, I'm not even sure they'd ever given anybody those kind of doses.
Oh. Okay, so here's the thing that I know about with glutathione. If we go higher than the body can process, you basically back up the body's own ability. So there's sulfur. I'm drawing a picture. I like to have a picture of the, let me just pull up a picture real quick because it'll help for me to describe it better to you. I'm going to just pull up a methylation picture. And it'll also help me to like really review some of the cofactors in that pathway, methylation pathways. And it's in the sulfation. Here's one.
Yeah, and Lisa and I have talked a little bit about the sulfur component in all this.
That's not a detail. Give me a second. I want to find one that has that CBS and the glutathione in a little bit more detail. I think this one will do it. Yeah, okay. I'm going to pull this up on my screen and then I'm going to share it. I'll share my screen and I'll show you what I'm thinking possibly could be. And it could be, do you remember from your genes if there are some SULT SNPs or CBS SNPs?
Well, I don't remember all the numbers, but or letters, but I remember that I do have sort of methylation.
Methylation, but sulfation. We can pull that up. Let me just share this with you and tell you what I'm thinking. All right. So up here, this is your methylation pathway. You come down, homocysteine right. builds up. You have CBS taking it downstream. B6 is P5P. And if hopefully that was a balanced B that they gave you and that, you know, it wasn't like it gave you a whole bunch of other stuff and not B6. But if it did give you B6, that would increase the production from homocysteine down to CBS. So
it did have B6 in it.
Okay.
The last couple of treatments, I think I had them take the B out, right, because I've been so hesitant about all these high doses of B6. But I don't know, maybe taking it out is what created part of the problem.
Well, did it seem to happen right at the beginning or after they took
it? I don't remember. It was kind of right in the middle of all of it, I think.
Okay. So basically, just so we understand, the homocysteine, so I would think that after that, with all that B6, that you would be pushing this pathway down. You'd have more homocysteine being converted downstream, which would lower your homocysteine. So that's a good thing to be looking at because I'm thinking in terms of what do we look at to see what's actually going on in your biochemistry right now that can be creating this imbalance.
Yeah, because that's ultimately the question is like, how do we fix this?
Right? How do we fix it, right?
Yeah, because it's fairly dramatic what it's done.
If you look down here, here's where glutathione gets created. And now in the body, you know, you're pushing pathways, you're pushing the sulfur and the precursors down to create glutathione. What happens if you give your body massive amounts of glutathione, it will suppress these things coming back down. And it will send them over to this side, all right? And then you get the sulfates and the sulfite. It goes down these pathways, and you get a lot of sulfates and sulfites. And we know from, like, sulfates that are used as preservative, for example, can create a lot of brain fog and, you know, muscle aches and things in people who are sensitive, right? So it could be some of the, you know, the precursors are being shunted down these other pathways.
And all that muscle stuff could be reasons why I still have so many symptoms, even though my CK has been driven way down.
Even though your CK is, yeah. So I'm just thinking in terms of, you know, so sulfate and sulfites, you can actually get, you can even get them on Amazon, I think, the strips to measure your urine to see if those are crazy high. So that's worthwhile. I think they're like $10 a bottle.
So specifically for sulfate.
Sulfate and sulfite. So look up sulfate urine strips, sulfite urine strips.
Okay.
All right. And then this is one of the, this is one of the possible SNPs. So depending on, you know, whether you have that or not, it may be one or the other that gets built up. And the reason I asked about molybdenum is because molybdenum is important here, but there's another place along here that it's not showing for some reason that molybdenum is important. But molybdenum is important for, I can't remember which one's which. It must be that the sulfite is the problem and getting converted to sulfate is doesn't happen efficiently in the absence of molybdenum. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So if they didn't supplement you with molybdenum in doing this, it probably would have been a good idea and may still be. But I would get those strips just to see what the ratios are between the sulfate and the sulfite. Right? And okay. The sulfites are what they actually put in the dried veg, the dried fruits and all the other stuff as a preservative. So this could be, this could be a problem, is that you're getting some buildup over here. And there, you know, lots of different symptoms that occur, can occur from the buildup of sulfites in your system, especially if you do have a breakdown here. Let me look real quick at your, do you, you have your genetics loaded up to your...
Well, yeah, and I also more recently did an, I actually, because I had done, I just recently did 23andMe because I had done a different one before that wasn't as complete, so Lisa wanted me to do 23andMe. I'm not sure, to be honest, whether either she or I have posted those.
Okay, so it should be in Stripe.
She did a whole analysis of them, so I don't know. So she's also got a document with the analysis of the 23andMe.
Maybe it's in the action plans folder that you know.
She wanted me to send to her a bunch of my results the other day so she could go back
and could go back and do it.
Yeah. You know, so she had them all in one place so she could post them.
Let me see if it's in here.
You know, she had her hand injury that she was dealing with, so.
I know.
It was, yeah, that was it.
Trying to work one-handed is not.
Yeah, exactly, of all things. And
yeah. Okay, let me look. Lifestyle Labor Book, who's my notes, chronometer, action plans, labs. Maybe it's a, maybe it's just under labs. Genetic, here we go.
Yeah, that, so those are the, yeah, so I don't, so the, it looks like 23andMe is not in there.
Yeah.
That genetic genie is the original one that I did.
Yeah, and genetic genie, I think it might show the SUACs, but I don't think it shows those at all.
Because the raw data I got was.
I would recommend you take the raw data from 23andMe and upload it to geneticdetoxification.com.
Yeah,
she did that.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, whatever she used, she, I forget what it is, but she used something, and she has a complete a document that shows a complete analysis of all of it.
Yeah, see, the CBSs, this is the problem with the darn thing. The CBSs weren't genotyped, and the newest, I'm looking at some others right now, and I'm really close to.
Well, the problem though is with the raw data that I fed it. The raw data didn't come from 23andMe; it came from. A genes for good study being done by University of Michigan.
Oh, so that may not have even had it.
Yeah. The issue was the data, not the filter.
Yeah, well, some of these will say not genotyped even on the newer one. You could take your raw data and run it through these again, the genetic genie and the
data. Well, but like I say, we've got it all covered. We've got a comprehensive analysis based on the 20.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I can't look at it right now, but my guess, just by... You know, looking at this stuff, my guess, let me find it again. Is it here? Yeah. My guess is that you probably have some of these sulfur metabolism genes.
Yeah.
And even if you didn't, just backing this up could cause a problem, but not as big a problem. Maybe a molybdenum deficiency. So what I will do is I'll reach out and ask Lisa to share what she's found so far, so I could take a look at that.
Okay, cool.
But that's right. What I would think. Now, again, yeah, you probably, usually those IVs have magnesium in it, but it's possible that if you're just taking selective nutrients and giving yourself massive amounts of them, that it can throw off and you have not a true deficiency, but a comparative deficiency of one nutrient over another, which could push pathways in kind of ways that you don't expect them to go. You can see P5P is throughout here. Because that's what I would be guessing has happened, and that some build up there. But I would expect that that would go away after you stopped doing it. If it was only in April, May, that's still 3 months ago. And the hair, what kind of color change did you get with the hair?
Well, it made it dark. It made it a little darker. And like I said, I think I actually lost some hair.
Yeah. Is that starting to come back?
Well, not, no. So
do you have any balding spots then?
No, not that.
No, just not thinner.
So I'm not sure if it's actual loss of hair or just texture change.
Well, it could be, you know, when you are doing some kind of detox thing, we do see that, you know, the way that hair works all the time is hair falls out and then new hair grows in. But you don't always notice that, right? Because we're just cutting our hair as it grows. But really, it's not the same head of hair we had a year ago. Right? Some of it falls out, some of it comes back. Same thing with eyelashes. It's just, that's just the way it goes.
Right.
It might have been that the hair was there was an acceleration of the loss as a result of, you know, doing all these nutrients, and it's a detoxification, right? The body's pushing stuff out. But especially since you're a guy and you can probably tell better than us girls with long hair, you know, that, it's easier to tell when that starts coming back in. So,
yeah.
All right. Okay. I want to see what Lisa came up with. I want to see the kinds of tests. Get the sulfate and sulfite strips for sure.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right. And then we can see about maybe you've done NutriVal in the past, right? I don't know if NutriVal would be the best thing. Maybe even a mineral test.
One of the things I am doing is in the midst of all this, is I just sent in trace elements.
Oh, here. Good. Perfect. Because then we can see the magnesium, we can see the zinc, we can see the molybdenum.
Yeah. So it, I'm not sure whether those results are going to come, at least to help set it up, but she had to use your name and address because it had to be a US address. So I don't know if the results are going to come to you or me. But I can tell they must have gotten the sample in the last day or two because they just charged.
It might come to me, but usually what happens, we get them and Angelica will get whatever test results come in. And as soon as they come in, she'll send you a copy and upload it to your file as well, your Google Drive as well.
So at least we can see what's in the hair. Like, or at least
we'll be able to see what's in the hair.
Yeah.
Right.
Do you want to ask John the hair minerals?
Well, so Lisa did it, but they don't, technically, she set up an account, but they don't technically work with someone in outside of the U.S. without going through like a distributor of theirs or something. So she put, I think, Dr. Rita Marie's contact info on the form.
Okay, let me check on that and confirm that we ordered that for you. Because
if she ordered it, yeah, it'd be confusing, but we'll see. We'll check with her. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it was technically. You wouldn't know about it until
no.
Until the results came in. Yeah.
She and I filled out the form and sent it in.
Okay.
And the first you might see it is when the results show
up. When the results show up. Okay. Yeah. You remember which company you did it through?
Doctor's Data, isn't it?
Trace Elements.
Oh, Trace Elements. Yeah, we don't have an account with them, I don't think.
We
use Doctor's Data for that. Okay. Yeah, so we'll keep an eye out for it in case it might come physically to my mailing address. Unless she was able to put her email address.
I think she had to put your physical address in.
My physical. Yeah. So a lot of times those companies will send us both. They'll send it to us by email and then they'll send it to us physically. So we'll keep an eye out for it.
Okay.
How long ago was it?
I sent it a few, like a week ago, and they must have opened it up and looked at it yesterday or something because my credit card got charged yesterday.
Okay, so it'll probably be a good 10 days before they get the results. Okay, we'll keep an eye open for it. Yeah, but that's my guess is what's going on there. That's the only thing. I think that, you know, you do have to be super careful with the sulfur pathways. That's why I caution people when they're taking glutathione to go slowly with it and you know, just build it up. But with the IVs, you know, you just do it and you need the antioxidant support. So it's a trade-off and we'll see what happens there. but I think it'll be good to see what's going on there. And do you have any other blood tests scheduled?
Well, I'm going out to, I don't at the moment because I'm going out to, I could do one, but I'm going out to the National Institute of Health.
Looking at the IVIGs?
Yeah, so I'm going to meet them on the 18th and 19th. And they're going to run me through a whole bunch of blood tests.
So okay, yeah. So wait until you get through some of that stuff and we'll get to see what's going on. There are some tests, I think, Vitamin Research. I think Doctors Data may also run it. That will actually test some of the actual components in the pathways, in the methylation pathways and the sulfation pathways. So we'll see what you get and then we can follow up with that from there.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
All right. Great. All right. Thanks, you. John. Right. And it's good that your CK is going down because that's actually the indicator of the tissue damage. So
yeah, it's down at like 107 or something. So that's pretty good for me. That's the lowest it's been in this whole 4 years.
The whole process. Great. Good.
All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
I see Donna joined us, but we just have a black screen for her. So I'm going to go back and look at my, let's see. So that was John. We have
Jeannie, Diana, and Maya.
Okay, so let's go to Jeannie. All right. And Jeannie's question. Muse 2, yay! Are you going to, have you started it?
I haven't. I just got it.
So. Just got it. Okay, I didn't know how long ago you filled this in. Great. I love mine. I don't have the two, I have the one. Okay, so you want to go over your hair mineral test and... All right, so it's in your folder?
Yes. It All should right. be under labs.
Yeah. She's got me the link. All right, open up your notes. Into labs. When did this one come back in, Jeannie?
Just in the last
week.
Yeah. Yeah, a week or two. I think it says doctor's data.
Mm-hmm. It's so strange, though, that these Google file, you know, you tell it to sort it by last modified or whatever, and it doesn't always do it because these are not in order. All right, let me look. I'm just going to go down on one by one. Let me just see if it'll actually do it by name. And then I can just look for D. Doctor. Nope, I don't see it under D. It's in the labs folder, stool test, TSH. If I go back to last modified, we have August 18th, lab results 889. No?
That was
here we go. It's listed as hair minerals. I see it.
Okay.
Finally. You gotta keep clicking buttons until you get it open in a new window. And is it okay if I share it?
Sure.
All right, there's your hair minerals. Let's see. Okay, so arsenic. Platinum, that's kind of interesting, and titanium. You don't have any implants you haven't told us about, have you?
Nope.
Titanium implants, you know. Arsenic is common if you have a wood deck in your yard. A lot of times arsenic is used in the preservative, the stain, you know, the stuff over it. Do you have a wood deck that you walk barefoot on?
No. We have a patio, travertine patio. I don't have a wood deck.
And titanium, that's interesting because titanium, you know, like implants or, you know, teeth implants.
No.
Let's see if it says any other reasons. Shellfish.
I guess I do eat a fair amount of fish because I don't eat any other.
But shellfish, like shrimp, crab.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. How often?
Not a lot.
More than once a month?
Maybe twice a month.
maybe twice a month. That's not a lot that I would expect it. Insecticides. Do you spray any insecticides around the house, in the yard, Roundup, any of that stuff?
We do have a service, so they do spray, now that you're saying that.
Okay. That could be that. And then it's outside. You walk outside barefoot on the grass or go out and touch the leaves, and that it could be that. You drink filtered water, right?
Yeah, I have the reverse osmosis.
Yeah. Smog. I mean, everybody's exposed to some amount of smog. You're not living in like LA or someplace where it's really super smoggy. So I don't know that. But I think the pesticides, whatever they're spraying, I would look at it.
Okay.
Because there's oftentimes, I'm going to look to see if there's lead in there too. Your mercury is high, not as high, but it's definitely high. And that can come from fish. Okay. Dental fillings, do you have any mercury amalgams?
Yeah.
At this point, you do? How many?
A lot, actually.
A lot. Okay. So that explains the mercury.
Okay.
Platinum is interesting.
Which one?
Platinum. It's the first time I've seen anybody with platinum in their hair. Cash in your hair for money. Cut your hair and go sell it somewhere. It's absorbed in the gut, but not via inhalation. So let's see where you might get it. Most are occupational, which you're not doing any weird occupational exposures in any plants. Did you in the past?
No. I mean, I was a teacher.
Yeah.
So like, in the building or anything like that. But I didn't have any kind of work that.
Yeah. Yeah. Not like you worked in a plant or whatever. But platinum, it says it's a byproduct of copper and uses an alloy in dental materials. So I wonder if some of those fillings that you have some platinum in them. Do you have any biological dentists in your area that you know of?
I do. I've researched that a little bit before and I've never followed through, but I think there is one here locally.
I think it's a good idea to check it out. It's not cheap to get them out. I think you've got to find somebody who's really good and careful at it. They, a lot of times if they're new to it or they don't really know, they'll just say, oh yeah, we'll just have one visit. We'll just put you to sleep, yank them all out. Don't do it, because it can really create a lot of toxicity in the body all at once. A lot of the more proficient ones will, like, the people that are trained by Dr. Huggins, who's one of the, forefathers of natural dentistry. He talks about doing one quadrant at a time, seeing how you do with it, doing a good detox beforehand, during and after, high doses of vitamin C, testing your pH. And we can walk you through all this when you get ready to do it. But those are all important things. The important questions as you're talking to them is, what's your recommendation? Do you recommend doing them all at the same time? And if they go, oh, no, we got to do them one quadrant at a time, they have some good skills there. You also ask them, what do you do for protection? A lot of them, actually the one here in Marble Falls, which is not too far from here, not only he was trained by Huggins, and he actually has people get IV vitamin C before and right after, just to be able to clear the toxicity. You want to make sure that they use rubber damming, which is they cover you up and, it looks like some kind of industrial craziness, right? But that it's to protect you from, breathing in the fumes. So they're like putting like this thing over so that they're working within this encapsulated area so that the fumes and the release doesn't get in you and you don't swallow it and all that kind of stuff. So those are important things. And a good plus is ozone. Like if they do ozone and they go in and they go into where they did the removals and then they, you know, kind of squirt ozone in to clean out, because a lot of times you get cavitations and things in there. So I think all of that is super important to find out about these dentists. And you can go online too. I think there's just, I probably have Huggins site is still up and running. And you can look for somebody that he's trained. I know people like Sandy in ERC, she came all the way out to Texas to get hers done by this guy Nunnally, who's near me in Marble Falls, about 45 minutes away, because of his reputation. And actually, Huggins, when I met him one time, probably about a year or two before he died. But he told me that of all his students, his top choice is this guy Nunnally in Marble Falls, and that's where he would get dental work done if he had to. So those are the kind of things to look at. But I think that given the platinum high and the mercury high, I don't know. I don't think arsenic is related to it, but I think to get the toxic load down, I think it's super important for you to make sure that you're doing that. Let me go back up a little bit and see what else. I think it was, you know, so the mercury is out in there, and everything has some sort of, you know, but the ones that actually come in to the yellow, the mercury, it's barely, but mercury is so toxic, we want to take care of it. The platinum's pretty high. The arsenic is quite high, but the titanium, I want to look to see, I don't remember other sources of it, but titanium, okay, so hair treatments.
I've done that for a long, long time. Got my hair colored.
Done at a salon. Uh-huh. So I would ask them to see the ingredients of the products they're using, because that may be why the titanium's high, which is an artifact, right? It's, yeah, there's chemicals in those dyes that aren't so good for you. And we have a local salon here that does organic hair coloring and products because of the toxicity. And you might be able to find something like that near you. Okay. But that's more of an artifact. So it's not like, oh my God, I'm going to die because I have all this titanium in my hair. It's more of an artifact from that. So find out for sure if that's what it is.
So if it is, are you saying I should still try to do something different?
I would try to do something different just for general principle, just because there's other stuff in there that's not so good for you. Okay. Breathing that in, being in a salon where they're using it and you're breathing in all those fumes. So it is a good idea to look for someplace that does an organic, and you can just look up organic hair salon or organic hair products. We have one in here in town. It's called, it used to be called Simply Organic, and now it's called Sleek Organic, and they only use the organic products. I mean, they're not 100% either. It's, you know, there's still some things in there that are not perfect. It's not edible, let's just say. It's not like Anne-Marie Gianni skincare where if you ate it, it's not a problem. But I think...
On the arsenic, on the shellfish, would sardines also be... I mean, it's not a shellfish.
It's not a shellfish. It might be a source of mercury.
Okay.
But I think your main source of mercury is probably the food. I'm not the food, the dental implants.
Okay.
The dental materials.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm not concerned about the titanium. It's most likely, they're saying that most of the time it's not a problem. It's just an artifact of
stuff
you're using on it. Okay. So I'm not concerned about that, but I am the arsenic, you know, the arsenic's of a concern. I would say the mercury and the platinum are probably in the dental fillings. I don't know that insecticides are probably your main source. You clean your water and the shellfish, insecticides and shellfish. So I would look at the products or ask the service that's doing the spraying. I think in general, we want to get away from that because it's bad for the environment as well as for our own bodies. So there are places that will you know, use other means, right? So I would be looking at alternatives to that.
Would that be something like in the house we lived in before, but it's been a couple of years ago, we used to have someone that did do, you know, the insecticides in the house and sprayed and inside the house. So is that something that stays in your body or
your body? Yeah, that's what you see. Your body's really good at that. It sequesters things off and it will save it in the hair. It saves it in the bones, unfortunately, some of the stuff. So, I mean, it is a good idea to avoid all that. And yes, it can build up. So let's talk about what you can do to get some of this stuff out. You want to decrease your exposure, but you also want to get what's in your body out of the body.
Okay.
So let me go back to the, where'd it go? Oh, the, duh. Let me get rid of that. I have so many things open now. That's John's. Where was yours? Here we go. We're going to look at the rest of this, but there are some gentle approaches. I'm not a big fan of the heavy duty approaches to getting rid of the metals. A lot of people do have bad effects. Like, well, first of all, the IVs are very, very expensive. And I've seen people do those and get kind of sick from it. And it can also yank out a lot of the good minerals in your body as well. So I'm not a big fan of that. But one of the things I like a lot is modified citrus pectin. Pectisolve, very gentle. It doesn't like yank it out. You can get, you know, EDTA suppositories and DMSA and all that, but you've got to be careful. And I've seen people go through those kind of detoxes and feel just miserable because it was too fast. And it also was yanking out some of their good minerals. But the Pectisolve is very gentle. It could take 6 months to get the levels to actually go down. But if you get rid of the exposure and you do this excretion, it will come down. Now, some people aren't getting rid of the exposure, and so the levels don't come down as quickly. So I would look at that. Just go online and look for Pectisolve.
Say, like, how much?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a very specific. It's like a little scoop. You start small. You build up to it. And, yeah, you okay. Just go through that. And then general liver support, like we've talked about in general, things like milk thistle, a lot of the foods and stuff, dandelion and hawthorn, and hawthorn would be a good one for you because you also have some lipid elevations as well. And these are your essential elements. It looks like your potassium is super low. As is molybdenum, and molybdenum is important for those detox pathways. Remember, I was showing John where the molybdenum was important in his sulfation pathways. And, you know, a bunch of these are actually fairly low. Now, I don't in general think that hair is necessarily the best place to be looking for your mineral balance.
So before I change some of that, should I do some, another test?
Well, it's definitely the toxics are it's definitely most reliable for the toxics. So this stuff I take getting rid of it. But my question is, does the level of these minerals in your hair reflect accurately the level that's in your body? Does it really reflect that? So let me see what these guys say here. Titanium. Magnesium. Yeah, and even that their description is saying most of the stuff is kind of a screening. And that they're high levels of magnesium and sodium, potassium can be related to the toxics. So here it's saying potassium low, it does not reflect your nutritional status. Um, frequently goes along with calcium, copper. Copper can be in the water. Hot tub. Do you have a hot tub or a swimming pool?
No, not right now. We have had in the past, but not now.
Yeah. What I'd say is give me a chance to read through this and we can go into it in more detail on Friday.
Yes.
Because hair stuff, toxics I do all the time, but the essentials, I got to get myself reoriented and really sit with this for a little bit. So I'll do that. We can do that on Friday.
That's totally fine.
Okay, good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, but I would, you know, look at those sources of contamination and
okay.
Get them out. You know, your goal is to be as ideally healthy as you possibly can, right? So we want to avoid the exposures to the stuff that can be accumulating. And, you know, especially with your history, you don't want to run the risk of toxicity in your body, putting your immune system in a vulnerable place again.
Right.
Yeah. Good.
Thank you.
All right. And we had, who else?
Maya, Diana.
Okay.
Diana also has hair minerals, so.
I'll look at the toxics and we'll see. Let me go to here. These hair minerals. There we go. Okay, almost there. Right at the top. Yay!
Mine's
right
too
at the
easy.
Top. Perfect.
Mine's too easy. Sorry.
No, I like it.
After
it's not opening, though.
Fiasco. Where did you start?
Okay, there we go. Let me...
It's so small, I was in shock. You could knock me off my chair with a feather.
Good.
Especially with all the exposures I've had in my life. So I was very happy with mine.
Good. Oh, look at that. Does everybody see the difference?
Yeah.
This is where we want you to be, right? So that's what we want to strive for, Jeannie.
Yeah, for Jeannie. Jeannie, clean up your act. Oh, my goodness. Oh,
wow.
My goodness.
Isn't that amazing?
I've been doing a lot of detoxing for like 30 years because I know the exposures, and I didn't want that stuff in my body. This was neat because I was like, yes, 30 years of all that wasted time wasn't wasted.
Wasn't wasted, right? Have you done any of the Pectisolve or the modified citrus? Because I saw you shaking your head.
No, I actually have not used that one. I've been using...
Tell us what you've done.
A lot of things.
Did you do the heavy hitters like EDTA and DMSO and DMSA?
I did not do the EDTA because I still have mercury fillings.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the things was if you've got the mercury fillings, don't use the EDTA because it'll pull them out and you'll end up sicker.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only one I haven't done, but I have a regimen of yearly detoxing in the wintertime that's about 2.5 months long. And I do it almost religiously every year, except I did not do it this year because I was just not in good shape enough to do it.
Apparently it's been working. Is it herbal?
Yeah, it is. It's all herbal. It's the Renew Life products that I've been using mostly. But I also have a gallbladder cleanse that I do. It's a liver gallbladder cleanse that's very similar to Isabella's program. Not quite as involved, but it's 4-day fasting with the apple juice, apple cider, basically fresh and distilled water for 3 days. Then the oil and lemon juice mixed, and then you get lots of gallstones in the toilet.
Yeah.
Slowly for a couple of days into eating again. So I do that one about once a year in the fall, and then during the wintertime, our usual regimen is we do a fast colon cleanse for about a week to 2 weeks, and then we do a full liver cleanse for 30 days. And then we do a full colon detox for another 30 days. So it takes about 2.5 months. And we do that pretty regular every year. but it's because of all the toxic exposures to the solvents and chemicals when I was working in the paint shop. I check this every year with 24-hour urine to make sure that we weren't accumulating stuff. So they let us know that what we were exposed to was toxic. So I'm surprised. There's also, I also had three thallium heart scans. So there being not a trace of thallium.
Not a trace of thallium.
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So I'm delighted.
That's awesome. Yeah. And as far as the rest of this, I'm going to review both of yours and really get myself back up to speed on what all this means, if anything, and what should be done down here. Interesting that they have zirconium listed as an essential element. I don't know that zirconium is.
This whole list and implemented some changes based on that. But I just wanted you to have a look at it. And if you want to take another look over it again.
I'll look at it because I want to read through all of these. Okay. Cool. Good for you.
Yeah, I'm amazed and delighted. So thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, and Jeannie, keep up the good work. Try that Pectisol. It sounds so much easier than some of the things I've gone through. But there are a lot of detoxes available out there,
it's really a matter of finding the right one. And I know that, you know, one of our new people has been through a lot of them, and many of them have made her sicker.
Yep.
So you do have to be careful not to exceed your body's ability, and to feel worse before you feel better. And that's why the Pectisol is very slow, very gradual. I put people through, or work with people who are going through the DMSA, where you take the oral DMSA or the suppositories of DMSA. And it was really grueling and very unpleasant. So I don't really like that. I like the Pectisol better. It's slower, right? So you have to be a little bit more patient, but it just pulls things out gently. Gets rid of it in your stool gently. You have to make sure that when you're doing that your bowels are moving regularly, that you're having your, you know, two, ideally three bowel movements a day. If you're eating three meals, if you're eating two meals, ideally two.
Yeah. And I found that the Renew Life products, I thought they were almost like too mild. And that's why I was happy to see that they were actually effective.
Yeah. Yeah. The Renew Life has some good stuff. I've only used their probiotic.
Right. And it's a great probiotic, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've got some good fiber stuff. But, yeah, that's the only stuff, actually. I didn't have any trouble taking those probiotics when I was doing the cleanses. That's only been very recent that I had the trouble with those.
Well, it may be that they had a different balance.
Well, something else came along and went wrong with me in the last 2 years. So, but that's all starting to straighten out. I actually have not done my usual cleanse for this year because I was so
really being careful
to everything. It was down to about four foods that I could eat without having a reaction to something several months back. So,
you know, it's interesting, but sometimes that's what it takes to actually get the healing happening, whether it's fasting, where it's down to zero foods, or down to a very small subset of foods that your body can actually process to help it along in healing and cleansing and getting rid of stuff. So.
That's kind of where I got to the bottom of the barrel there and literally was almost on nothing but water. And it was down to about four things that I could eat, and that was it. So it's been a slow climb, but now it's starting to finally pay off. So
worthwhile.
Yeah.
You're on the mend.
Make sure your colon is good and clear, because when you start some of these detoxes, you need a nice clear drain.
Oh, pattern. Yeah, that's mandatory. Yeah. Absolutely. But so don't just go ahead and start it without, you know, let's just figure out when you're going to do it. Check into the dentist, check into what's in the stuff they're spraying, and also what you're using on your hair. I'm not concerned about the titanium at all.
Yeah. You'll also notice on my hair stuff, I make my own shampoo out of Castile soap.
Oh.
And so, I really have detoxed all of the chemicals in the house many years ago. So, there's a lot of different reasons why I guess it all came out, but it does work. I mean, I don't use anything on my hair other than the shampoo, which is basically a combination of Dr. Bonner's shampoo, kind of watered down, and then I add a few herbal things to that just for So
yeah.
I've removed as much as I possibly can.
You know, I think that it's a good thing, and I think that we just take for granted, right? You grow up and you use shampoo and you use just the different detergents and whatnot. And then the more we learn about what's in these things, we just do a gradual detox. The environment pillar.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. And, you know, going through an inventory and just gradually getting rid of the stuff that's not, you know, yeah.
And even some of the organics have still got some junk snuck into
them. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I did a talk with Stephen Eisel a couple of months ago on Facebook, and he was talking about they have their My Green Fills products. And he was talking about some of those ingredients that the so-called natural detergents are problematic. And we did that talk with Trina talking about how the stuff in your toothpaste can be causing a problem.
Exactly. Make your own toothpaste. I make my own mouthwash. I make my own shampoo. I make my own laundry detergent. I mean, you name it. I make it as much as I possibly can.
As much as you can. Yeah. Yeah. And we just want to be clean because they don't care. The big companies don't care about anything except profit. They don't care about our health or the environment. And we just have to take charge. That's all. And in thinking of it in terms of I get to make my own stuff. I get to clean my house out. I get to avoid toxins as opposed to I have to. Yeah. Makes a huge difference because we do, and we're aware, and we get to take care of ourselves in these ways that the average person out there isn't even aware is putting them.
Can I add something interesting to this conversation?
Sure. Last night
I was watching a show that's about going into companies. This was a cleaning product company, a high-end cleaning product company, and they revealed the cost of their product. So this $9 cleaning product cost them like $1.30 to make. Guess how much the cost of their ingredients is?
$0.12. Yeah. They're mostly
you are paying $9 in some fancy place for a fancy thing, a fancy bottle, probably full of toxins, and it costs, you're paying for 12 cents worth of toxins.
And you can make it your own. And there's a lot of good books out there and EWG, and there's all sorts of places. You just, this is not hard to do. I'm just going to do it. You know, you get a refillable bottle, you fill it up, and it doesn't take much time. And the cost savings, over the years, that adds up. You know, $9 doesn't sound like a lot of money, but over the years, you know, you can have a nice night out on the town or go to a play or, you know, do something fun for yourself with the money you're saving. And then the environmental impact is huge. Mm-hmm. And the cost to the body is huge. Yeah. So
exactly. Cool. That's very true, Angelica. The cost of my containers is the biggest cost.
And the freight. Yeah, the logistics cost.
Yeah, and that's the thing about reusing, right? That's why My Green Fills will ship it. Yeah, it's still in a little plastic thing, but you can't get away from all of it. But they don't ship it in these big bottles. They just ship you these little refills, and then you add your own water to it. So then you know you have good, clean water. They just send you the powder, and you add the water to it. So it costs nothing to ship a little thing of powder. Yep. Yeah.
Yep. And another thing on the water, speaking of water, I'm kind of overboard on water testing and water protocols, but we discussed that on one of the calls while you were gone. Once the city water supply is tested by federal law and it's available, the water test for your water supply is online. I don't know how much we can trust them, but they do have to publish it. That's number one. That's where you start, number one. Number two is you start figuring out what kind of filters you need, but you also want to do your sink where it's coming out of your faucet. And there's companies where you can send in water samples and have your water, tap water, actually tested. So you take what the city says with a grain of salt, then you get your own test and you get it before you filter. Then you find a filter system that will remove the specific things that you need to get out. There are some really nasty toxins in there. It depends on the city supply, plus what's coming through the old pipes.
The old pipes, right. The residue in the pipes can be huge. And if you have old copper pipes, you can end up with copper toxicity.
And then, once you've got your water where you think everything's set up, then you take some more samples and then you send those in about every
spring. Right. So you're testing it at the source. You're testing it at your sink. Then you're filtering it and then you're testing it again.
After
the fact. You have links to those places where you can, or is it local? It's just local places?
I found our water supply online and it is nationwide, and I will put that link up on the ERC page for everybody that's interested. And then you just pick out your state, your city, and then whichever you're getting your water from, and they'll be listed. If it's a public water supply, which basically means more than like three households, then that's considered a public water supply, and it is required by law to test.
Okay, so, cool. That's good to know.
Households will be in there, and they will notify you if there's anything that's out of line. Our particular well, we're on a community well. There's 40 homes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can get access to that because it is considered a
public
regulatable entity.
Yeah.
And then the town water supply is totally different, and that's really interesting too. They've got a lot more stuff in it than we do. We've only got uranium, which I was surprised my uranium numbers were much lower than I was expecting, but they did show up.
And do you have a whole house filter? Do you shower with the well water, or do you?
I shower with the well water, but the only thing that was showed up in it, and it only showed up in one test, was a small quantity of uranium. And it's well within their boundary, but since they have to put anything that shows up. And then the other thing was there was a small, tiny quantity of nitrates.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing about that is this is not an agricultural area, so there hasn't been, this isn't like pesticides and things that have been sprayed or fertilizers. This is the naturally occurring off of the granite rock that we have.
Yeah.
Bedrock. So yeah. I don't know that that makes a huge bit of difference, but.
I think it's got to be within a margin of error, you know, away from whatever they say is low. And then you want it even lower than that just because you don't want to trust that level.
Yeah, like you say, because they're required by law to actually publish the numbers, and they've only shown up once on the nitrates and once on the uranium out of the 15 years that we've lived here. There was only, and they have to test for.
Well, that's good. Then, you know, that's something we should all be looking at to make sure, especially if you don't have a whole house filter. We have a whole house filter, and we have reverse osmosis at the tap with triple filtration. So there's a lot of filtration levels. But the swimming pool gets filled. No, the swimming pool gets filled from the whole house filter, because they couldn't tap it away. So any water we use outside, actually, it's kind of a waste, but water we use to water plants and stuff is all the whole house filter water.
Yeah. Anyway, those are the interesting things I found. And we've just been using the Brita because there was nothing that showed up in the test.
Mm-hmm.
I will be pulling the Berkey out now, though. So we packed our Berkey away, because when we lived in Eastern Washington, we used the Berkey. We needed it, but we didn't need it here. So it was like, we packed it up.
Yeah.
Take it out, because I don't want to be drinking uranium or nitrates. Thanks. I have enough problems. But
yeah, you don't need to add that to your system. Cool.
And so we're all about, you know, removing as much as we can from the environment that's bad for us, and then detoxing for the things that do sneak in that we're not aware of.
Because things do sneak in. You can't avoid it, right? Your house is going to outgas, even if it's old. We had our house shut down, windows all shut while we were gone, and came in and I went in my bedroom. I'm like, I still smelled paint residue in there. And the house hasn't been painted for 20 years.
Wow.
And I still smelled it in there. And there's no carpeting, so it wasn't carpeting. So I immediately opened my windows and aired out my bedroom. It lingers. It does linger.
Yeah.
So, all right.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's go to Maya.
You do some studying. Both Jeannie and I are looking forward to Friday.
Good. I'll look at that and see what I can come up with.
Detoxing, ladies and gentlemen, and the environmental pillar, go review it.
Okay.
Fantastic.
Great. Thank you. You there, Maya?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Look at all these chat messages. You guys have been chatting away.
Well, it's been such great information about detoxing today.
So. Awesome. Yay. So you dropped all your supplements for 6 months. And based on genetics, what do I think? Well, off the top, I know that you have a lot of methylation SNPs. So I'm thinking the folate and the B12 are important. But let me pull up your things.
The summary sheet. Yeah.
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 Oh, is it in here? Oh, this is your, here, let me look in here. For some weird reason, some of these showed up as, let me see if.
Well, what I sent was a Word document that I attached, and it was just a summary of the
Oh, a summary of you. Oh, that's, I remember you doing that.
Yeah, it was just the homo and hetero. So it was all.
Maybe it's this one.
No, that's not. It's in her form response. If you go to Maya's
form. Oh, at the bottom of her form response. So yeah, I have it open a minute ago.
She provided a document there.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah, which is not a lab. It's a.
Yeah, it's just, well, yeah, there we go. I've got so much that it made it easier.
It makes it easier. So there's your 22 homozygous. And then 58 heterozygous. Holy crap. Okay.
It's like, why I respond so well to everything, right?
Yep. Like, how many years have I think phospholipids, and that's more of a food as opposed to, you know, you can get like sunflower lecithin. It could be soy lecithin or anything like that, but I just think sunflower tends to be cleaner. Mm-hmm. I would say, given the MTRRs and the MTHFRs, probably methylfolate and methyl B12. Do you have to take it every single day? Unlikely, just because you can probably get away with taking it once a week if you take a good form.
Oh, once a week.
Do maybe a month of every day and then maybe do them once a week. Well, given you don't eat a lot of green leafy vegetables because of the blood sugar thing, well, probably the methylfolate, you know, in the 1,000 microgram range. Same thing with the, let me just look at your COMTs. Do you have COMTs?
Yeah.
Nope, but they're not homo.
Yeah.
They're hetero, so you're fine with that. So you should be okay. Get, you know, get the liquids so that you can titrate your dose up. Mm-hmm. And find your maintenance dose. But given this status, I would probably do that. The phospholipids, some of these others don't really, you know, this is your interleukin, so that's where the autoimmune stuff comes from. All right. Yeah, actually turns out the more I research it, the more I realize this form, the hetero of COMT, is actually the more balanced. Hmm. So, yeah, so superoxide dismutase, it's a tough one. You know, there are creams you can get. You got some of the sulfur, the IL-13, again, FUTs. I would say, like, Bifidobacter probably on a regular basis, if not, you know, all the time, but at least a few days a week.
Oh, interesting, because I have it in the fridge, but I haven't been taking it. But it was just the last week I was thinking about starting that again.
Yeah, I think the Bifidobacter with these FUT2s, you know, the generalized anxiety disorder is not what it really stands for, but that's kind of what we interpret it as. Glutamic acid decarboxylase. MAO... I would say, you know, it's the ones that are anything that's going to protect your immune system is important given your inflammatory markers. These are related to blood pressure, the NOSs. Mm-hmm. HLA is another, you know, there's a lot of immune system ones here. I don't see the BCMO1 over here. You have a hetero BCMO1 or maybe not?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Oh, yeah, you do. Yeah, so I would say periodically vitamin A, free-form vitamin A. As long as you're getting enough in your food, beta-carotene.
Well, I'm trying to do liver, and isn't there A in liver?
Yes, there's A in liver. There's A in cod liver. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm doing cod liver. Actually, cod livers.
I'm just trying to think in terms of your food and the restrictions, and you know, normally I would say, oh yeah, we could just get that from food, but you know, so glutathione, SOD, those are big antioxidants in the liver. I don't know that you'd have to take it all the time, but you know, periodically, maybe having some liposomal type glutathione or SOD. Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking a while back about that cream OxyCell from Apex. Mm-hmm. and everybody was saying how they couldn't find it. I was just at a conference and it was on the table. People were giving it away as a sample. So wow. I took a bottle of it. But that has SOD catalase and glutathione. You have the GSTP, GSTM. They're hetero, but, you know, they're going to impact a little bit. You've got some HLAs. I'd say you want to make sure that your B6 is working properly. Let me see if you have you don't have a C. Yeah, you do. You have CBS. Yeah, given the CBS and some of the sulfur ones down here, I would be looking at making sure your B6, you know, or a good B complex, you know, with the activated Bs mm-hmm. in it, you know, like the Premier Research or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but those are the only ones I would really say are a mandatory. I don't know how, if you tune in and do like your own energetic testing to see what do I need. Mm-hmm. You know, given the celiac and the gut stuff, I would say, and the immune stuff, just really anything that's supplying and supporting your gut, like, you know, a good probiotic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And with the, you know, talking about the probiotic with the Bifido, what is the lifespan? It's always been refrigerated, but, you know, it's probably been in my refrigerator a couple of years.
You'd have to look at what it says versus where you are right now. They always say shorter than what they really are, because they're not going to necessarily be in the refrigerator. In the usually the lifespan, some of them will say that X number of units, X number of, you know, billions of organisms, live organisms, at the expiration date. That's what that usually means if they're kept refrigerated, mm-hmm. right? Now, beyond that, yes, it will go down. Here's how you tell. You make yogurt out of it, mm-hmm. or you try to, right? So you blend up some coconut and you stick some of the probiotic in it. And if 24 hours later, it still tastes and looks the same as it did when you started, and there's no sign of fermentation, then you know it's no good. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could do it with kefir, you know, you could do it with any kind right. of thing like that. Okay. Yeah. That's how you would know.
Do that. Okay, sounds good. And I think, you know, that my inflammation is reducing since my psoriasis is clearing up so much, you know, since I've eliminated the fruits and vegetables. So, you know, and hopefully it's temporary and eventually I can
add it back in. Yeah.
Back in.
I would say given the diet you're on right now, you know, antioxidant support is really important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, what was I going to say? Oh, okay. So when you're done with everybody else, I do have another issue, but you know, I'm happy to wait until the end if there's time and if there's not.
Okay. Let's see. Is there anybody else? Angelica, was there anybody else that had, that was it. Yeah, go ahead and ask your other question.
Just today I've been listening to some, you know, TED Talks and different talks, and considering about getting back on metformin, given that I don't get the results that everybody else does from keto and carnivore and all of that stuff in terms of weight loss and blood sugar reduction, although, you know, with so much fasting that I've been doing now, I actually did wake up at 116 once this last week, which hasn't happened in like years.
Wow.
You know, so like between 116 and 140 is where I'm at these days in the morning. And so I was just wondering, you know, because these days they're touting so many other benefits with metformin, I'm wondering if I should try it for a year just to maybe give myself a kick in the butt to maybe get some response.
I mean, it's certainly on the table. It's one of the least toxic drugs I could think of. But it works in a similar fashion to berberine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get good results from berberine.
I never have. And I was taking, what was I taking? Like 1200,
Yeah, you should have 500 three times a day is what the studies showed. But,
so 5 3 times a day. Okay.
Yeah. But certainly I think it's, you know, I don't think you have a lot to risk by trying.
Okay.
You've tried so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When was the last time you took berberine?
Probably in that, you know, 6 month thing, I was taking the Glycox 500.
Do you have any left?
Oh yeah, I have like one, you know, a giant bottle left.
Then I would try that for a month because you've done a lot of different things, right? The last time you tried it, you were in a different place. So I would try it and see if it helps.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the metformin, I don't think, I mean, I took it for 10 years without any success, but I think it was mostly back when I was still eating gluten and stuff. So
yeah,
that was one of the reasons I was thinking about maybe.
Well, that's how I would try this. I would try the berberine before I would try that, since it's been a while since you took it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, all right. Sounds great. Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Maya.
Paula had a question too, Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah, absolutely. Paula, go for it. And there's Donna with her cute new haircut. I like your haircut. Go ahead, Paula.
Yeah, I had to get my screen back after you stopped sharing. I came across something last night after our talking yesterday about my testosterone story. And I was reading in Fiona McCullough's book last night, some things about testosterone. And I came across, she lists supplements that are really beneficial for people with PCOS. And one of them is NAC, you know, N-acetylcysteine, which I've been taking for quite some time. And she says that it reduces serum testosterone levels and the free androgen index. So I was wondering, you know, if it reduces serum testosterone levels, and we found that my, you know, blood testosterone levels are low. So is it possible that the NAC that I've been taking is helping me excrete that testosterone, and that's why it's showing up high in the urine?
That's certainly a possibility. And I'm going to go ahead and I didn't get a chance last night, but I'm going to go ahead and send Fiona your labs, and I'm going to ask her that specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Cause I think that's what's happening is your body's, it's just excreting it, and that's why it's high in the urine. It's just protecting you from those high levels.
Yeah. And I had added that NAC back in March. So I had been on it for about 4 months when I did the most recent Dutch. And I had not been on the NAC for a while before that. Yeah.
Right. So the last test you did, you weren't on it. And the level, the excretion level had gone up, right?
I was actually probably on some, but not the amount that I have.
What are you taking?
I'm doing 600 milligrams once a day, but I was not on, I was only on like, I think 200 or 250 last year. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'll make sure that when I send her over your stuff, I'll put all this in. And is it okay if I share your supplement sheet with her as well?
Of course, absolutely. Yeah, supplement sheet. Yeah.
She offered, so she got really excited when I started talking. I want to see that. I want to take a look at that. Okay, cool. Very good.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh yeah, you're welcome. All right. Who else has questions? Hey, Kathy, you're signed up for Friday twice. You must be really excited to be coming on Friday. Let me unmute you. Wait. There you go. You're unmuted.
Shows that I'm still suffering from traumatic brain injury because when I registered this, I'm out. Did I just register for this? And I think what it was, I didn't get a confirmation so quickly like I normally do. So that, okay, maybe I just thought I did and didn't. So yes.
Okay, good. Good. We'll definitely see you because I think you were not, you were listed last time, but you weren't able to make it or you made it. I can't remember. But
I didn't remember either. All I know is I have 3 calls today, so I'm so sorry. I had my early morning one and then this one and then your afternoon one. So I thought I had to miss the first part of this call. I apologize to get groceries.
No worries. No worries. Yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm also excited about for everybody who's had the post-traumatic brain injuries and has issues with their sleep, the bonus that we have for this next year, which is the brain time, a month of brain time.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's going to be, I mean, I hadn't realized that.
Yeah,
that
well, is, there's so many bonuses listed, I don't remember what half of them are.
Exactly. I didn't show up.
But I was trying to well-round it, you know, to kind of, to have a well-rounded profile of bonuses that would really support everybody in different ways.
Well, I know people are going over reports, and I just did have blood work done, and my vitamin D is at 51, which is good, but I want it to be a little bit higher than that. But I have been diagnosed with little things recently that are throwing me off. So I'm going to throw out, in July, I was diagnosed with fusion, fluid on the knee, and short. And in ruling out that there wouldn't be a hidden torn ligament or tendon, I was then diagnosed with a torn meniscus.
Oh, no.
This was not because of a fall or an incident. I have fallen since. I fell last Wednesday just on my kitchen floor. And that's kind of part of my life. But the torn meniscus and effusion, the fluid on the knee, are not. And he suggested, I could take the fluid off the knee and then inject a steroid. He says, or, you know, we don't have to do that. And I said, well, I'd like to wait a few weeks rather than do that to see if I can help this all myself. And do you have any comments, hints, tips, and suggestions?
I do. So I have a few things for you to try, but also there is an option of getting the fluid removed and not injecting a steroid, right? Because the fluid itself, right, is making the space tighter, which will cause pain. So that's another option. But one of the things in Chinese medicine that's very popular for knee stuff is thinly slice ginger and you lay the ginger over the area. And then if you have an acupuncturist do it, they'll actually can put needles in and do moxibustion, which is where they heat the needles. But you can also just put heat over it. So you put the ginger there and you put heat. So it's like a ginger compress and it drives that in there.
Okay. Just, you got warbly only for a little bit at the beginning part. So I think you said thin slices of ginger.
Yep.
Put it on the knee. And then you said add heat.
Add heat, right. And another thing you could do is put castor oil first. Castor oil and the ginger. And the castor oil can actually drive the components of the ginger in.
Okay. And I just got some new castor oil from Queen of Thrones. So good. I've got a fresh bottle. I think my other one was just questionable. It was maybe so old. I thought even if it can't go bad, I think I just want to start fresh.
Start fresh. So, right. Good.
That, okay. So add castor oil.
Yeah. And if you don't have fresh ginger, you don't want to go through the trouble of fresh ginger. You could probably get a ginger essential oil.
Oh, I have ginger
and
essential
mix
oil.
The ginger essential oil with the castor oil. And then rub that over the knee and then put the heat over that.
Oh, that is a great another option if you've used your last piece in the freezer.
If you've used your last piece or you're like, you don't want to get to the store or you don't want to stand long enough to thinly slice enough ginger to go over your foot, your knee or whatever.
When I'm doing this compress and sitting, obviously putting my leg up,
I would put it up, so I would make sure, don't just sit with it down. I would actually try to elevate it a little bit above, so sit, but put prop it up.
I have like a zero gravity recliner.
Beautiful.
So my legs will be way above my heart.
Perfect. So, perfect.
But would you say 20 minutes, 30 minutes, a rough?
I would say 20 to 30 minutes, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And one thing that can help is while your foot's up, let's see if you can see my foot. I'm trying. Bring my chair over. So you see my foot?
No.
There.
I see your ankle.
You see my ankle. All right.
Yeah, down to your ankle.
Like that, okay?
Oh, yes.
So then see how?
Yes, you're doing
Some of that.
I do that consistently
for 20 minutes, but while you have it in the compress, I would do some of that.
Okay.
All right. The other thing you can do while you have it in the compress is do some lymphatic type massage where you've got your leg and you're going up towards the lymph. There's lymph drainage right in the groin area. So you want to be pulling that. It's like you're pulling. Oh, come on, fluid. Let's get out of the knee and come on up. And if it's angled like this, the flow with gravity is going to help it to flow that way. And you just help it along. Lymphatic massage tends to be very light. Just like, yes. Don't get in there and dig. You just pull. You just nice, long strokes to help to improve the drainage.
I do lymphatic massage every day. And I have one on my nightstand. I do it in the morning or before I shower. I now have one at my desk and one at the end table. So I have access to using it more frequently. And to
when you say you have one, is it a machine that does lymphatic?
Oh, no. I said brushes. Different.
Oh, brushes, like with the brush. Yeah, that can be helpful too. Brushes. Yep.
Because of my edema and because of, you know, lymph can flow nutrients, but it also takes out toxins. So I
That's
want
right.
it. To flow. And because I don't exercise very much, barely a little walking, my lymph is not moving. So I need to do it more faithfully. So I will
another option for the passive exercise would be an electric stim type machine.
Oh, I have one of those too, but I don't know where I have to go find them.
And specifically it's interferential machine, and there's a protocol called Russian Stim, and it tells you the exact like frequency and positioning and all that. And they actually use that in, you know, stimulation. It's areas like in Russia for Olympic athletes when they really weren't able to do their exercise because of the ice and the snow or whatever else. But they've also done it with astronauts, you know, when they're in zero gravity to get them to be able to exercise, and it improves strength.
And that would be good for the fluid on the knee, the torn meniscus, my need for
Torn meniscus, it's torn, right? So collagen support. So, you know, getting one of the collagen protein powder things and having that on a regular basis to help support it. It's hydroxyproline, proline, lysine, and vitamin C are very important nutrients, but there's others.
Okay.
And that will help you to do the repair there. It depends on how much the tear is, if it's torn all the way through.
No.
If it's shredded, and, you know, when it's shredded, it can repair. It just needs the right things. And a steroid injection really doesn't repair tissue. The steroids actually thin the tissue, right?
Yeah, I won't be doing the steroid.
No, but you see how it goes with some of this. And if there's still fluid there, not a problem for them. They insert a needle, they do some suction, they suck the liquid out. It's not a big deal. Just don't allow them to put the steroid back in if you're not comfortable with that.
Okay? And I'm going to give it another week or two more just to see how it's doing. If it doesn't seem, then I'm going to go and have him help take out some of that fluid.
Yeah, just take out some of the fluid. But if you can get it to drain out and get into your, you know, even better.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And one last quick thing. I slammed my thumb in a car door over a month ago, and it was really, really bad. And I've only done it one other time in my life, probably about 60 years ago when I was a child, and this was worse. And I unfortunately night before last I caught a little edge of this piece, and it lifted up and started to tear off the nail bed.
The nail is off.
And torture in a new way. It bled, and I was not happy girl because it hurt bad. But I basically leave it unband-aid, but now that I have this little edge that's lifted up,
you got to be careful you don't knock in.
Exactly. So I thought, I can't have that happen again. So do you have, is this like a trauma? Are there things?
Like a trauma, you know, the vitamin C, the rutin, the collagen. What is she showing?
Me? Oh, look at that tea.
It's a castor oil infusion we're chatting about.
Oh, castor oil infusion.
Castor oil, yeah.
This one's the calendula in sweet almond oil. I'm going to be mixing it with the St. John's wort in castor oil, which is exactly what would be great for your thumb.
Yeah.
You are a wealth of information. Wow. You got all this good stuff.
Yeah. So things you can wrap it in. I mean, think the castor oil, as long as it's, you know, you don't want to put ginger necessarily in it because it's probably open and it may burn,
Right.
But I would say you can, the castor oil itself is very healing and soothing and anti-inflammatory, making sure your vitamin C and your rutin, which is an inflammatory, I mean, it's a bioflavonoid that's structural, helps to promote the structure. Yeah, you're going to have to avoid it. There's nothing, when you damage a nail bed like that and the nail falls out, it's months before it's back.
Like a dry riverbed through the middle that's like almost, well, it's an eighth of an inch, if not more, deep. Oh. And so it's like a cavern. It just looks bad.
And I just wonder if that nail is always going to grow that way. Cause once there's damage to that nail bed, it's just going to, even the new nail coming in is going to go, dude, look at that. I can go down there.
Yes. Primary care doctor said it may never be normal again.
No, it may not.
And then the nail esthetician that I have seen through the years, she said it'll take probably a full year to really know which way.
Know whether it's going to, yeah.
Yeah.
Because even on young people, I've seen it. Like my son did that a couple of times to toenails, and he still has warped toenails. And, he did it when he was a kid. So it's likely, right? But.
Okay. So collagen and vitamin C and whatever else.
Yeah.
Okay.
The collagen support nutrients. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We are just about at time because I have one last one. I got to get ready for our healing kitchen in an hour. Hey,
so,
Donna.
I have a migraine. That's why I have my thing off. So when we are going to have a call that you're going to show me how to use the ultrasound thing, do you know when that could be?
Do you have the machine?
Oh, yeah, I've had the machine.
Well, let's get it set up. It won't take more than 10, 15 minutes to show you. Are you available tonight?
So there's two more calls that we have tonight, right? The Vital Kitchen and then the Getting to Know You call.
Yeah, the Getting to Know You call. I was just supposed to be for the new people. So you don't need to be on that one. We're going to get our getting to know you.
Old one.
Say it again.
The old one. That's the old one. I'm deleting.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. So, I should be done by that by 8:30 or 9. You're on Central Time. If that's not too late for you, I could probably.
Oh, no. I'm up.
Hop on. All right. We'll plan on it. Just use the same Zoom thing and we'll get on and I'll show you how to do it.
All right. What time?
About 9 o'clock tonight.
Okay.
I'll put it on my calendar so I don't forget to. I'll say, oh, I'm Donna. I go, okay, Donna.
I know. I'll be like, hello.
Okay. She'll be like, where are you? I got my machine. And make sure you have the machine. It's plugged in and make sure you have the gel and a towel. It should have come with an ultrasound gel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So have the gel and have a towel handy.
Yeah.
You always need a towel. And then the machine itself, I'll show you how to do it real quick.
Okay.
It won't take long. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. I'm having to do that with my poor son. He cracked a couple of ribs and he needs ultrasound. And they found that ultrasound helps to knit bones together, especially small bones like ribs and the little tiny foot bones. So I got him to go to a chiropractor. The chiropractor treated him yesterday with the ultrasound. I said, okay, I'm going to send you an ultrasound because you can't go to see the chiropractor every day. It takes too long to get there. The cost, I said, for the cost of 2 visits, I can get you an ultrasound. So he finally agreed. they're still like little kids, even when they're grown up kids, right? So,
Dr. Marie, I have a really quick 1 minute question if you've got a second.
Sure. Who is that?
Maya.
Oh, Maya. Oh.
I got accidentally glutened on August 1st.
Ooh.
And ever since then, it's now been 3 weeks. If I eat any food, my poop has been liquid the whole time for 3 weeks, never a solid poop at all. And I'm wondering, and that's not typical. Usually I'll have like 2 days of diarrhea and then I'm fine. So I'm wondering any suggestions, because like I said, it's been solid 3 weeks of not being solid.
Solid 3 weeks, which means you're losing all your nutrients and, things to slow down your transit time. I mean, certainly, have you tried fasting during that time?
Is oh, of course, like for 5 days and at least, and then as soon as you start to eat again, 24 to 36, 42 hours, two other times every week.
Yeah. I don't know if it's too late, but the Glutenza type thing, those, you know, if you've still got active
or any of those kind of things,
that might help. Mm-hmm. I would say maybe some slippery elm, plantain, or marshmallow made into a gruel to just help calm down the lining.
Okay.
Those are the only things I can think of.
Okay, so it was slippery elm, marshmallow, and what was the third one?
Yeah, one of you don't have to do all three, slippery elm or marshmallow or plantain.
Plantain, okay.
And made into a thick gruel that you sip on and do it several times a day.
Okay.
Donna's going, I don't like that stuff.
Well, and yeah, to me, plantain is like so much sugar, you know, but anyway.
Yeah, I would say slippery elm is probably the slippery elm or marshmallow or slippery elm tends to just work.
Okay.
You know, it just tends to work and it's easy to get. And,
thank you very much.
Right. And then some herbs, you know, maybe some calming herbs like, I mean, chamomile is certainly one of them. Milky oat or, you know, some of this, well, maybe not oat, maybe not
oat.
That might, yeah. lemon balm, some of those things that are calming to calm down. Cause when you're having that issue, it's the lining is irritated plus there, it's in spasm. What is that? Okay, Diana's got a concoction for something. Let's see. Is this for Maya's gut? Go
probably
for it.
Not for her gut.
No.
All right. Well, thanks.
Castor oil. Mm-hmm. I'm straining it just now. This is the fresh castor oil infusion with St. John.
Wow.
I wish I had Kathy right here because I could wrap her thumb right in this right now. This is going to get really thick, but I've had it solar infusing for 11 days now.
And it's outside. Nice.
It's been outside and in the sun. It's the infusing. I bring it in every night, make sure it doesn't develop any condensation because it has to be done fresh. But that, see the color of that? Can you see how dark that is?
Yeah.
That's that dark purple color from the green.
From the St. John's.
It's amazing.
And what's in it? What's in the
St. John's wort? Fresh from her garden.
Fresh from the garden. It is the homeopathic solution to smashed fingers. That's what reminded me as I needed to go out and grow.
Arnica also is a homeopathic for that. But getting back to Maya, what you reminded me of, Diana, was castor oil packs. Have you done any castor oil packs on your belly?
No, because I haven't been home much the last 3 weeks, but I do have castor oil at home.
I would do a castor oil pack, and I would do it every day, just every day.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, because I can really calm everything down as well. Yep. All right, guys.
Thanks.
We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Go make some
Thank
food.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Looking forward to the food.
Yeah. Sandwiches. Any specific sandwiches anybody really wants to make sure I make? I've got a couple written down that I got from the Facebook group.
Grilled cheese.
Some ham and cheese sandwich.
Yeah, see? Ham and cheese. Grilled cheese. That's what I was thinking.
Something really that's flavorful.
Vegan cheese.
Something good. I don't
Scott
know.
Murphy put down a Reuben.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I love Reuben.
I've been absolutely craving those. Fantastic.
All right. We'll see you later. See what I can come up with. Bye.